We have our first sponsor. This is a company and a brand that I've used for a while now. We got AG1, and it's a nutritional supplement that I take every single morning, all right? I feel overall better health, mental clarity. It helps with my digesting. And the best part is that it's just one drink that you take, so you don't have to take a whole bunch of different supplements. This has all types of great stuff. I love it. You should try it out. AG1. I take it every single morning. And if you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and five AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/booth. That's with two O's. That's drinkag1.com/booth. Check it out. I promise you're going to love it and get excited for this all new episode of In the Booth. Here we go. We are back in the booth. I'm Sean Booth, and thank you guys for tuning in wherever you're listening from or watching. You can watch this episode on YouTube. All of our episodes, the full episodes, are on YouTube. And hopefully you're having a great day. I'm feeling good today. We got Sam Cat back to my left here in the hot seat. I was in the hot seat last week. We've got a very, very fun episode for you guys. Hopefully you enjoy it. And last week, Sam Cat told me to start thinking of things that I'm grateful for, to write them down, to set an alarm. I haven't done that yet. I haven't set any alarms. I haven't written anything down. Okay. But what I did realize is that I am grateful for everybody who listens to In the Booth. I love coming here every week, being able to talk to you guys, open up. It's something that makes me think. It's challenging. It's fun. All of the above. So we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you give us all the ratings, all the stars that you want. Hashtag not an ad. And here we go. To my left, she is wearing Nike Air Maxes. Got some black in there, got some white in there, pink, maybe a little bit of pink in there.
That is neon orange.
Okay.
That is neon orange.
Never said I was good at colors. Yellow socks. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Those are neon. Yeah. Listen, I was just doing laundry, buddy, okay?
We've got jeans. We've got a No Bad Vibes Old Dominion Tour 2023. Hashtag not an ad, just good music. Check them out. You might see Sam Cat there. And on top of that, well, the shirt's tucked in. Don't want to forget that. She's got her hair parted down the middle. Looks like she might have used some gel. Little clip in the back.
Claw clip.
Okay, claw clip. Mm-hmm. And she's got not one, not two, but three chains.
Three chains?
Three chains. She's triple.
Did you choke on your tooth?
I choked on my tooth. She is triple chain cat today.
Hey, that was way too long of an intro.
Three chains.
Three chains?
How are we doing today, three chains?
We are doing great. I'm doing, so my hair gel is not gel, it's a hair mask. I have an everything shower coming up tonight. My girlies out here listening know what an everything shower is.
Sounds terrible.
It is actually the best. And, you know, when your hair's feeling a little greasy, just throw in one of those hair masks, leave-in conditioner, slick it back for that clean girl look. So it looks like I'm presentable, but really I'm already preparing for the spa night I'm going to have.
Yeah, let's go. When I was thinking about the gel that you use in your hair, you know what I immediately thought of? You might be too young for this.
Okay.
LA looks.
Oh, no. Yeah. I rocked that for sure.
Right.
Terribly. Because I have like kind of wavy, kind of curly hair. So I would just try and use that to make it better. And let me tell you, it didn't make it better.
It was colorful.
Yes.
I grew up with two sisters. We had that in the household. Still don't use it.
Oh, I used it like when I did gymnastics. You slick your hair back. That's why I'm balding at 33 because I slick my hair so tight.
Well, just keep doing what you got to do, Sam Cat. Shower tonight. What kind of shower you say?
An everything shower. The girlies know. I feel like the everything shower is like, whew.
What's the celebration?
You exfoliate, you shave, there's bubbles, there's candles, you had a hair mask in. It's like a whole, you have a meet and greet. I don't know. You go replay arguments that you had once in a while. You listen to music. You hang out. It's the best. It's just like nice little self-care.
Why do we call these showers?
why do we call them showers? Because you're in a body of water that's showering water on you. What kind of question is that? What are you asking me?
That one makes sense, but baby showers, wedding showers, what, because you're showered with love or gifts?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the reason.
Yes.
You're 100% sure. Showered.
No, I'm not 100% exactly. sure, but I feel like, yeah.
Okay. So also.
Sorry, are you mad at me because I don't know the definition of shower? Is that what we're doing
now? I'm just trying to get some information here. As a guy, showers, which are just a wild, weird thing that I feel like nobody likes.
Okay.
We're putting together our baby shower. Maybe you got the invite.
I did get the invite.
Okay. What's that look for? You're not going?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. We see where her priorities are.
Oh, my income? Yeah. That's where my priority lies.
Okay. Whatever. Planning a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, can we do this the most non-traditional way? All right. So we're doing it together.
Didn't you guys already do that?
Yeah. That's also very true.
On brand. Staying on brand is what you're saying. All right. Got it.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't want to do anything that's fancy. I don't want to do anything that people don't want to do. I don't want to sit there and open gifts. Don't want to have people dress up. So let's just go to a fun bar here in town, rent out some patio space, got TVs, bar games, have some drinks, our own bartender, and let's hang out, watch football.
I do think that that is becoming more and more popular. It used to be only women, informal, and almost like high tea vibes, I feel like. And now I think with millennials kind of taking the showering, if you will, by storm, we've changed the game because I've been to many baby showers that are co-ed and are very much on brand with what you're describing. And it's way more enjoyable, I think, because it's a time to hang out and celebrate you guys and baby booth, but you don't have to feel like you're, you know, going to a wedding or a funeral or something so formal. It's like, let's like let our hair down and get together and celebrate.
Yeah, let's just go have fun, have drinks, watch football. And enjoy the day. Last thing about these showers, and then we'll move on.
Hey.
Now, the shower you're going to tonight, you said it's a bunch of women. You shower yourselves.
Sean, are you high? And everything shower is literally just me in my shower doing everything.
Oh, my God. I actually thought it was a shower. Like an actual shower.
I was like, what is this dude talking about? Baby showers. I'm just talking about my hair mask is going to leave.
Holy. Oh, wow. Wait. I missed that one. That's hands up on that one. I completely. Actually, for the first 5 minutes.
Shower with other women?
No, I thought you were having like a shower, but you guys were going to like.
My pants.
I've heard of showers in Nashville, right? Where it's like a Botox shower or like a candle shower.
I can't breathe. Oh my God. Okay. So you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I could see how we got here, but I'm just talking about, oh my God, I'm sweating. Okay. I was just talking
about,
like, no, it's just, you know, I shower every day, but not every day is an everything shower. Like you don't wash your hair every day. You don't shave every day.
Right.
You know, it's like an everything shower. It's like a spa experience. I'm about to blast some Fleetwood Mac, light some candles.
My favorite.
I'm going to come out smelling like a bag of roses and I'm going to be exfoliated and shiny and ready to go to get back on the road and dominate my job. No one else will be there. There will be no gifts. There will be no, I don't know where you got that, but I do know where you got it, which makes it even funnier because I was like, why the fuck is he bringing a baby shower?
I was just going to say,
my shower.
You must have thought for the first 5 minutes here, you're like, how did we get to baby showers?
I was thinking that, but you also throw me a lot of curveballs on this podcast and I just have to roll with it. So I felt like maybe that's what we were doing and you were going to have some redeeming qualities, but that was way better than it could have. I ever imagined it starting.
Man, I completely missed that one. An everything shower. All right.
So what is this everything shower?
I just had an everything shower a couple hours ago. I shampooed, face wash, body wash, didn't condition. So maybe it's not an everything shower.
Oh, well, that's not an everything shower.
Okay.
Do you wash your beard?
I use face wash on my face, which gets into my beard.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah. I don't have like a separate beard washer.
Some people do. And this... The guys on tour have like insane beards, the crew guys, and they have like heated combs and they do like the oil and everything. Let me tell you, those beards are looking nice. I didn't know. I feel like yours isn't long enough to really be that dedicated.
I have those heated combs when it gets super long, but I almost feel like it looks too manicured.
It looks very East Nashville.
Yeah, 100%.
If you don't know what that means, it means very hipstery, very like, I work at a coffee shop and also write poetry, and I am smarter than you.
Yep. Like, slick my hair back, throw in some earrings, and have a full sleeve tattoos.
Yeah.
And that's East Nashville.
I mean, I'm not mad at that. But when you, at one point in the last however many years, have had an enormous beard, and I liked it, and you were like, I don't know if I'm liking it.
I like it. I go through phases. I'm getting prepped for Movember for the mustache phase.
Yeah, that one is hit or miss.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, big fan of the mustache, but I know not a lot of ladies are.
I beg to differ. I feel like it's back more than ever. I feel like girls love mustaches now.
Okay, well, okay, yeah. I've always loved them, so I feel like I haven't been paying attention to the riffraff, but I will believe you.
Yeah, they're becoming trendier.
Sure.
I would say.
I'm not a big fan of my own mustache, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Right. Hey, I like it, but that's here.
I can't believe you thought there wasn't everything.
All right. And we are back. We got a fun show for you guys today. We have a lot of callers calling in. All right. So every week here, we try and find fun ways to keep you guys entertained, to keep you on your toes, clearly, to keep you thinking. We love doing podcasts that have guests. And one thing about us here, we are willing to have conversations with any and everybody. Doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. We love to have conversations with people we might not agree with because we want to make people think. We also want to hear opinions and thoughts of everybody. So, Sam Cat, we're going to start getting more guests on here. And we already know that you're trying to get Theo Von on here.
Hell yeah. And I'm trying to wife him or have him wife me.
You're trying to have a complete shower with Theo Von.
First of all, it's called an everything shower.
Everything shower.
I can't believe that. That's actually you know what, Booth? I'm going to add that to my gratitude list on Sunday. I laughed so hard on the podcast this week because Sean thought I was going to shower with multiple people.
This is a fun fact you might not know. I set the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest shower ever with the most people in the same shower. I led it. This was back at a festival, so you can imagine how clean that was. It was for, I believe, Dove was the sponsor, and I had to lead a group shower, and it was a massive tent with hundreds and hundreds of people with shower heads, and we had Irish Spring, and it should be in the Guinness Book World Records. Check it out. No big deal.
I'm probably not going to do that, but congrats.
Thank you.
It's a really weird fun fact. That's a really
all right. Here we go. Let's get into today's show. The theme of today's show is Sam Cat, Three Chains, and me. We are therapists. We have a bunch of people. We've got a call right now. They're going to tell us their problems, what they're going through right now, and we're going to give them our best advice. Are you ready?
Yes. That sounds, nothing could possibly go wrong.
All right. Here we go. I have not told Sam Cat anything or what the issues are, and we're just going to start dialing these people up.
Do you personally know these people, or they just responded to your Instagram story?
These are complete strangers from Instagram.
Okay.
Okay.
I love the chaos.
This show is chaotic. I'm nervous.
Why?
Hello?
Hey, this is Sean Booth on In the Booth. You are live right now with Sam Cat and I. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You don't have to include your name. That's what we're telling everybody here. You can use an alias if you don't want people to know it's you. But we are here. The therapy chairs are open right now, and we want to work through whatever problem that you have today.
I love that. I need lots of therapy, so this is great.
All right, let's hear it. What you got?
All right. So I guess my biggest one was I recently started dating somebody, great person. We get along great. However, worst kisser I've ever been with in my entire life. Oof. And yeah, and you can teach them and to get on like your level. It's just really not working. And I just don't really know what to do.
Now, explain worst kissing. Give us some details here. What's bad about the kissing?
Too much tongue, for one. Just opens the mouth too much. And it's just kind of like all over the place.
We got Sam Cat over here. She's got her eyes closed and she's shaking her head.
First of all, I'm sorry.
What I'm talking about? Like, does she understand what I'm saying right now?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what it is that some guys are just like, full-blown tongue. And I'm just like, no, that's not. Like, I have big teeth. it's just not going. It's not gonna work.
All right. So how long has this been going on for?
I would say like a month and a half now.
Okay. So you're in it.
I have literally been like, you know, you use too much time, but it's just not like comprehending that, like just kind of like stop. Cause that in my head, I'm like, I'll just teach them to be better, but it's just not like, it's not really clicking. You know, once you're kind of in the moment, it almost gets worse.
Oh yeah. He's getting like super excited, I think.
Yep.
Can I ask how old you are?
30.
So he's a grown man. Is he over 30 years old?
31.
Mm. I'd move on. Dump his ass.
Oh, wow. She's not even like, that is ice cold.
No, I mean, it is ice cold, but I'm saying a 31-year-old man is not willing to accept feedback a month and a half in. Here's the thing. I heard what you're saying. You're like, oh, I think I can teach him. It's like, if you think you can teach him about kissing, what else are you setting yourself up for that you're falling for his potential? Here's the thing. Men over 30, we're looking for you to be fully potenched. I don't feel like we need to be out here falling for potential anymore, ladies. At some point, he has to show that he's willing to work with you. And I'm not saying that someone has to come with like a pretty bow wrapped on them, like show up at your doorstep. This is a team effort. But if you've already been straightforward enough to talk about, hey, I'm not enjoying this because you're attacking me like I see my dog due to a Frisbee in a park. I don't know how much like cool, calm, and collected you can maintain. And not for nothing, but you can kiss for the rest of your life. That's a long life.
This might be too much information. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. How is the sex life with him?
Oh, it's good. That's the crazy part about it.
Okay. All right. So then he's got some...
That is like the one thing.
Because I was wondering, maybe he's just so riled up and ready to go.
I just feel like, in the beginning especially, people show you who they are. And yes, it's only kissing and everything else seems to work out. But if he's not listening to your level of enjoyment, what else will that translate to later? Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I feel like kissing is so simple. Haven't we been kissing for decades now?
100%. I totally agree with that. With me too, it's like, oh, like you just vibe with this person. And also dating these days, it's like you're fighting for your life. You finally find someone great and then you're just like, oh, the kissing, man.
What if you broke up with him and you saw him, you're out and about or at a bar and you saw him kissing another girl? How would that make you feel?
Probably a little upset.
Okay.
But I also would be like, wow, that doesn't look that cute, the kissing. But...
Hey, two things can be true at once. Two things can be true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, definitely like this guy. So probably the toxic part of me is like, I'll just fix it. It'll just get better. But yeah, part of me too is like, ugh, like, you know, you don't want to not kiss your partner.
I think that you're still too new to the relationship to really make any decision that is like make or break. I think you can still ride this out and try to articulate and communicate with him as effectively and as straightforward as you feel comfortable with. I think that men love simplicity. So don't be afraid to just shoot him straight. And if you're here in 6 months, you know, 3 months, whatever, you know what your threshold is to tolerate that. And if you're still there, then you make a decision of what your next move is. But I don't feel like, you know, just because the kissing's broken, you don't have to throw the whole boy away just yet.
No, 100%. I like that. That's good.
All right, Sam Cat, not in panic mode yet. Give it some time.
Will do. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Good luck with
Thanks
that, baby.
Bye.
The old open mouth kiss.
Yeah, I thought he was just super horned up and apparently he's...
I mean, it could be, but I also don't understand, like, you know, when you see little cute babies give kisses with their mouth open, everybody goes, oh, it's so slobbery, but we move on because it's a baby. That dies out after about, I don't know, not 31 years, way before 31.
This is Sean Booth from In the Booth Podcast. We got Sam Cat. You are live right now. Thank you
Hello.
For letting us call you today. What's going on over there?
Not much up here in Minnesota. It's a nice day, great weather.
Ooh, Minnesota.
Yes. The Twin Cities area specifically, but yeah, we've had, you guys probably have too, but like massively hot weather the last couple of weeks and it's been nice today. So
see, we've actually had opposite. I feel like it's been starting to get chilly down here in Nashville, which is my favorite. But we are here right now as your therapist. Tell us what you got going on.
Yeah. So I maybe screwed myself over because I took 8 weeks off in between my last job and this new job I'm about to start. So I'm now on day 50 of what we've been calling fun employment. Mm-hmm. I go back or I start this new job on Monday and I am absolutely terrified. I'm an attorney. So This is my first kind of like real, not real job as an attorney, because when you go to law school, if you're going to compare it to like med school, after med school, people go to a residency, right? So they like get all this extra training.
Right.
Well, in law school, they have these things called clerkships where you go and you work for a judge. And so I did 2 years of clerkships and that's the last job I just ended. So now I'm going to practice as an attorney at my next job. I'll advise clients and all that good stuff, which is something I have never done before. And I'm going to work in the private sector, which is also something I have never done before. I'm a government employee girly through and through. So absolutely shitless terrified for this job to start. But
hey, that's a good feeling to have though, right? Means you're passionate about it, that you care. Now, when you say that you are working for the government, what type of law are we talking here that you're going to be practicing?
Yeah. So before, when I was working for the government, I was working in appellate law. So I worked in Minnesota's appellate courts, both for the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. But now I'm transitioning to a private role where I will be doing management side labor and employment work. So the firm that I'm going to work for represents employers when they have issues with their employees.
Okay. Which is a very common thing. And you will be very busy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Sam Cat is not a lawyer. She did not go to law school, but she is shaking her head over here and she's got some advice for you.
I just feel like you need to remind yourself that you were given this opportunity because you were qualified for it. You got this job on your own merit and through your past experiences. And you're about to have an opportunity to grow within something that you sound very passionate about. You sound very intelligent and you sound dedicated to the craft, if you will. I feel like the number one thing we have to remember is that we need to be our own biggest cheerleader. You need to have unwavering faith in yourself. Obviously, someone along the line had enough faith in you to offer you this opportunity. And now it's here. How exciting is that? Like, yes, it's been 8 weeks of fun employment, which is a fantastic season for you to have celebrated in. But now you're going to get down to business. And it's got to be all of those years of law school and clerkship and working for the government and studying and hours and books. And all of that is going to come to a culmination where now you're going to be able to put that into motion. I think it's good to be scared. I think it, like Sean said, it proves that you are passionate and care about it. But I also think it's up to you to use that energy positively. Have faith in yourself because it's all going to work out. You're going to dominate this. And you wouldn't have been given the opportunity if you weren't prepared. Get that bread, honey.
Yeah.
Get that bag.
It's time to get that money.
Get that money.
Yeah.
That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, overall, super exciting. I think the worst part about it is like when you go to law school, you know, you start a job or you start law school and nobody has done law school before. So you're all like in the same boat. And then when you do clerkships, when you start them, everybody starts on the same day. There's like 11 to 40 of you, depending on where you are, who you're all new and nobody expects you to know what you're doing because you're all new.
Yeah.
And I'm the only new person starting at this. It's a mid-sized firm, so it's not like they have a class of people who are coming in. So right. I think part of it is like the Sam Cat, what you're speaking to about like imposter syndrome and, you know, just reminding myself that I'm smart enough to do it. But part of it is also like, who am I going to eat lunch with? I don't know any of these people.
Could be terrible coworkers, but I'm going to say that you can have fantastic coworkers.
Going to put that juju out there. I mean, I just feel like you got to remember that there's a learning curve for every new experience. Nobody's going to expect you to walk in there and know exactly what you're doing. And also, at the end of the day, it's you versus you. Anybody else who's been at that job and has had maybe the exact same role that you have, that's great for them, but they're not you. They don't have what you bring to the table. You're unique in your own light, and it's just lean into that. Use that to your advantage. Accept the fact that there's going to be a learning curve and there might be some social awkwardness where you have to find a new person to eat lunch with. But guess what? You had 12 years of practice doing that in regular school. So this is going to be a walk in the park.
Amen.
There you go. Nothing to be worried about.
Is this the end goal for you? Was this the dream gig?
I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I think I'm really going to love it. The firm that I'm going to is women owned, which is something that was really important to me because it means they have really good benefits. So it'll be great for family planning and when I want to have kids and all that stuff. But I never pictured myself in the private sector. So I think if I like it, it will be end game for me. But if I don't like it, I think end game will be trying to be a judge, probably up here in Minnesota.
Wow. That'd be badass.
Good for you.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Well, we got full faith over here that you're going to kill it. You're going to love it. And if I ever have a business up in Minnesota and I run into any problems with my employees, I know who I'm going to call.
There you go. Thank you, guys.
Well, good luck.
You're going to kill it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
That girl's going to crush it.
Going to crush.
I understand what she's saying, though. It's so intimidating to walk into a new job.
Yeah.
This is Sean Booth. You are on in the booth right now with Sam Catt. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. We are here for you right now. We are your therapist. So lay it on us. What do you have going on right now in your life?
Okay. I'm not going to tell you my real name.
Perfect.
I'm going to be Jen for this.
All right. We got Jen on the line.
Perfect. Okay. So I guess I dated this guy for about 2.5 years and we broke up in March. He initiated the breakup. And then some things have gone down like within his life and my life that have been like kind of traumatic. So we've kind of stayed like for a while, like I was there for him. And then he was there for me when things were the greatest. But he's still like, time has passed since those events. And he still like calls me all the time. How are you? What are you doing? Like we catch up. Like if we haven't spoken for a while. I went over to his place the other night to get all my belongings and he was the sweetest. He made me dinner. He let me stay the night. We hooked up, all of that stuff. And so it's just like so confusing on what this man wants.
So is that something that you wanted and enjoyed and you left that next morning being like, all right, we're back on track here and I want to do this?
I think I want to do it fully with him, but I don't think he wants to do it fully with me. And so I feel like I can't let myself like go there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. What was the communication like after that? Did you talk about it with him or have you guys kind of just laid low after that?
We haven't really spoke about like the events of the night, but I still have stuff at his place that he's bringing over to my place, like literally in a few hours. And so he like called me. It was like literally nothing had happened. He was like, hey, do you want this? Do you need this? Just very casual conversation. And that's like kind of how it has been every time before. Like he's not going to initiate a conversation of what are we doing?
I think a great place to start for you specifically tonight would be almost the exact conversation you're having with us right now, but with him. I think you have to decide what you want because I noticed that once you got done explaining yourself, the last thing you said to us, well, I don't know what this man wants. Who cares what this man wants? What do you want? And then go from there. Then you can consider his feelings and what needs to come next in order for you guys to either be together fully or it sounds like you guys have like an extensive history that sometimes you cannot continue even just a friendship with those people. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately. I think you just need to decide what you want. And then from there, you backtrack and you're just like, listen, I have enjoyed being there for you over these past couple of months where we've been going through a lot of life circumstance. I am happy to have been there. However, that's no longer where I feel comfortable in giving you advice and being there at your beck and call like a wifey or a partner does. I'm not interested in doing the work of a girlfriend and not reaping the benefits of your girlfriend, of being your girlfriend.
Right. No, I completely agree. I think I'm in a position where I'm kind of like, am I ready to give that up yet? You know, that like friendship and having him around. And I think I have to get there.
Yeah. And that's definitely something, know that you're strong enough to go through anything and not need him as a safety blanket if you're going through something.
Yeah, I agree completely. I just got to do it, I guess. I got to like pull the trigger and break it off completely.
How were you guys before all the things started happening in your life? Because obviously your connection grew going through traumatic experiences.
Yeah, prior to us breaking up, I felt like literally nothing was wrong. The breakup was initiated by him and it was completely out of the blue, like very blindsided. He said like he felt like he relied on me too much. And he felt like he was losing like who he was a little bit, which in my opinion, that's kind of what happens when you get in a relationship to an extent. And so we were great. And then we were not bad, but we tried to do the whole non-talking thing. I don't think we've ever fully like cut communication off, except for recently. We went like 2 months. We said no talking, no communication. But then when we started chatting again, it was literally like nothing had happened. So to me, that break did nothing to, like, it served really no value. Because I feel like he still treats me like the same way. He's never treated me bad. If anything, he's always been very respectful, very just like a great human. And so that's hard to let go of someone who's so great, you know?
But is he so great if he can't see your value?
No.
I'm not knocking him. I'm sure he's a fantastic human being, but him not seeing your worth or seeing what you bring to the table as his partner, and maybe, and I'm not saying that everybody has to have it figured out. These past couple months can be convoluted and a learning curve for everybody. However, now you guys are kind of on the other side of that. And if he doesn't see that you're adding value or that he is, you know, he's still feeling insecure, then where does that leave you? You get the short end of the stick again. So how is that fair to yourself?
Right. It's not, because he's getting exactly what he wants. He doesn't want a relationship, but he wants all the benefits. And I can't separate that in my heart.
Yes. Right. The heart is, you know, we need to take her out back. I understand that for sure. But ultimately, wouldn't your heart heal if you were to let that go, then to have it drag on and you feel almost, I don't know, doing daily damage by giving in to him and wanting to be with him, but him not reciprocating that?
No, I agree completely.
Much easier said than done.
Yeah, it's so hard. We've all been there.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
It's like we all have these connections and you feel like, man, you need them and you want them. And if you go without them for a day, then you kind of question it and then you reach back out and it's so tricky. My final recommendation would be to be completely straight up with him, have this conversation that you're having with us. And if he isn't able to fully commit to you, give you an answer of what he's wanting, then just know that you do not need him and you don't need him for your happiness. It will be tough, but it will be worth it in the end.
Okay, well, he's coming over shortly, so.
Well, tell him we said hello.
I'll give you guys a recap, an update.
I am excited. I'm excited to see and hear how this plays out, because I think it's going to be, I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to love it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
That girl knows.
Yeah, she knows.
She's going to love it.
That person didn't answer, but their question was, how do I tell a guy I want to have sex with him without being too forward?
Oh my God.
My response to that is, you don't have to worry about being too forward. Just tell him. If
just
he's attracted to you,
it.
He's going to love it.
Just initiate it.
Yeah, don't be scared. And if he doesn't like that you're too forward, he's probably not going to be good in bed anyways. So
I was going to say he's probably not the guy for you, but yeah, we could go there too.
All right. Partner for In the Booth is Biome, which is a toothpaste company. You hear how I said toothpaste? Said that with a lisp because I don't have a front tooth. And I like using this toothpaste because it's a nice little tablet called Knobs. Knobs toothpaste was formulated by a dentist to provide a minimalist toothpaste without sacrificing on efficacy. It's just 13 ingredients and no BS. It's that simple. It's formulated with the safest remineralizing agent alternative to fluoride, nano, get this, hydroxyapatite, and super gentle polishing ingredients. Plus, because they are dehydrated tablets, they don't have any unnecessary preservatives. All right, so all you have to do is stick one of these knobs right down. Don't put it down the hatchet. You want it in your mouth for a little bit. You chew on it until it's fully dissolved, and then you brush with a wet toothpaste for 2 minutes twice a day. Watch as knobs foam, just like a regular toothpaste, but without the junk. There's no mess, no crinkled tube, which I am so guilty at screwing up the toothpaste tube. Major pet peeve that I do to myself, all right? I squeeze from the top and not the bottom, creates a big mess in my bathroom. You don't need to worry about that with these tablets. To get these bad boys, check out betterbiome.com. That's better and then BIOM.com. 10 in there. And for the code, very simple, just like the tablets, it's Booth. Two O's in that one. BOOTH. Check it out. You're going to love it. This is Sean Booth from In the Booth, and we got Sam Cat. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. We're just sitting here talking with a bunch of people, and we got you on the list next. Just want to chat with you, see what you got going on today, and see if there's anything we can do to help.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. You guys are just kind of talking about heartbreak, and mine's just a little bit different. I'm not going through like a relationship breakup, but my dog passed away recently. So I'm just trying to get through the days. Any advice would be great.
First of all, I'm very sorry for your loss. That is the worst heartbreak that I've ever had in my life. So I can fully relate to what you're going through. I know when I lost Tucker, it was a very, very trying and challenging time. And I found myself just crying and letting all the emotions out. And I remember trying to just research, like I was desperately looking for help. I met with my therapist, just trying to like find anything to help me, to give me a sense of comfort. And, you know, one of the only things that I continued to tell myself was that I was so heartbroken and upset because that love was so, so strong. And that connection was so strong that I was so lucky to have that in my life. So I kept on going back to that. Like, I'm so fortunate enough to have this heartbreak because of the love that I shared with my dog. You know, hopefully that's something that you can think about. And if you weren't this upset, then it wouldn't be that special. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm already crying again. I picked up her ashes today. And so like, it's been, tomorrow will be 2 weeks since she passed, and her ashes were ready almost a week ago, but it was just like too hard to even think that she's ashes now, you know?
I understand that part was very difficult. And, you know, I have Tucker's ashes in my house, and I almost every day I'm next to them, and I like just, you know, touch the box, tell them that I miss them. And it's something that I thought I was never going to get over. And I even told myself, I'm not getting another dog. Definitely not getting another golden retriever. And here I am. And shortly after, I got Walter. And that was such a blessing that 100% helped me. I was also nervous too, because I'm like, I feel like I'm almost cheating on Tucker here, and I don't want to move on to another dog. But it was just something that was able to help me get through the tough times. And, you know, I think the worst part for me, I remember I didn't want to come home to my house. And I remember just like,
Oh my God.
I would be sitting in my driveway scared to walk into my house because I knew when I walked in, it was going to be empty. And that was a very tough feeling. So being able to have Walter now has made that so much better. So I do always recommend, once you're ready, and maybe when you're not ready, try finding a dog that can come into your life and give you as much joy in a different way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think I'm going to like volunteer at Stray Rescue and just like walk some dogs and just try to volunteer and take up some of my time that used to be spent walking my own dog. I know it'll get better. Like, I know with time it'll get better, but definitely the thing about coming home has been the worst.
Tell us about your dog. What was his name? Her name?
So Yep, her name was Layla. She was a Puggle. She lived a little over 15 years.
Wow.
I got her when I was 21. I'm 36 now, so we kind of like grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
She and I've been like the best of companions. It's always just been us, and so it's kind of it's challenging because I am single. Like I am like coming home alone, and there is no you know pod steps. You know, yeah. Running around more. And so it's been heavy. The first week that she passed away, like I didn't actually want to leave because I didn't want to come home. Like that was just way too triggering for me. And like now I find myself like wanting to just be gone all the time. Like I even went to Bass Pro Shop the other day, like to hunt or fish. Like
yeah. Like, trying to keep yourself busy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's just with anything, it'll take time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I relate to you on so many levels on that too, because I had Tucker when I think I was 21 as well. And then he lived about 11 and a half, 12. So maybe I was a little bit older. But I felt the same thing. I'm like, he has grown with me, traveled the world with me, always mm-hmm. been by my side.
Right.
So I know how difficult that is. Were you able to say bye to Layla?
Yes. So that was like one of the most special things that I had thought would haunt me. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, and there is this doggy hospice we have there. So it's not like you have to go to the veterinarian or the vet and, you know, smell all the chemicals and be in that environment. It's more of like a home environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's private. And so you go there and there's not a bunch of other animals or people around. And it was just really special. The veterinarian there, like, just made it the most peaceful and somehow kind of beautiful passing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really thankful that, like, her last day on this planet wasn't something that, like, I thought, you know, like, I just dreaded that day so much. So it ended up being just a better experience, I guess you could hope for.
Yeah. And hang on to that thought, because there's so many people who don't get the chance to say goodbye. And that is just, I can't imagine how painful. So hold on to that. You guys are both lucky for having that bond and relationship. So hang in there. And
thank you.
When you're ready, get another little one that can run around your house.
I appreciate that. And I love listening to you guys' show. I like to watch it like on YouTube because I think you guys are both just so funny.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we got one here, Sam Cat. She didn't answer. She said, my boyfriend of 11 years hasn't proposed yet, and he's my brother's best friend.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. 11 years? That's over a decade for those of us that are bad at math. I can't judge their relationship, and I will not, but if it were me and I were in her shoes, I would walk my happy ass out that door.
11 years.
11 years? You don't know if you want to marry me after 11 years? What are they waiting for?
I know. We don't know if the relationship is great, though. Maybe that's the only thing. If that was the only thing that was missing, right? Say you had a boyfriend who was like 6'5", looked like J.J. Watt, and you loved everything about your relationship. You guys got along. You got along with each other's families. Would you leave him if he didn't put a ring on it?
If it was important to me that I wanted to be married, yes.
Is it? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, well, I think if I were in that situation right now, I don't know. Because exactly. I feel like marriage has been less and less important to me as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
But I was with someone for 6 years and they didn't propose to me. And I had that conversation with him. I was like, I don't know what you're waiting for, but this is me. So if you don't know if you want to marry me now, I don't know that you want to marry me. So I think it depends on how important that is. Some people just want life partners. They don't care about the marriage thing. But I think the overall bigger picture is that if it is important to her and he's not willing to do it, or it could be vice versa, that is actually where the problem is. It's not the marriage itself. It's the fact that it is important for her to be engaged and to be married, and he's not willing to do so.
And you know what they say? If he wanted to, he would.
Everybody says that because it's true.
We got another one. Didn't answer. She must be nervous. I'm going to pretend to be that person right now, Sam Cat. All right, here we go. Sam Cat, help me out. I'm struggling over here. Mm-hmm. My name is Leslie, and I have this problem, Sam Cat. I can't ditch a useless man. What do I do?
That is a very vague term. Could you give me any more specifics?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. He's drunk all the time. He just lays around. He plays video games.
So my question is, why can't you ditch him?
Because I really enjoy how he treats my cat.
Mm. Let's think about that logically, and let's remove emotion and heart from it, because that's when things get messy. Like we were saying on the call before, when the heart comes in, it's like, makes it, I guess, easier said than done. However, if you take a broader look at your entire life,
yeah,
you really worked this hard to get a piece of shit as a partner. You're not giving yourself enough credit for what you bring to the table and what you could bring to the table of a relationship that was fulfilling. You are parked in something that may feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Very comfy.
Yes, but that's not always good, because what grows in comfort? Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to grow?
I do want to grow, but I'm very scared. I'm very scared.
Well, yeah, life is scary. Get in line. Everything is scary. Everything worth doing should make your heart race. Think about it.
Yeah.
New job, new boyfriend, family event, an event that you're putting on for work. I don't know. Anything in between that.
You're so mean, Sam Cat. You're just telling me to get rid of him, and he's just a regular human being who has a heart too.
No, you said that he was useless and didn't bring anything to the table, and the only redeeming quality that you list is that he was nice to your cat. There are people out there that could be better, and I know that for 100%, billion, thousand, million percent. My soul knows that there's better out there.
All right. I'll
dump his
ass. Think about it, Sam Cat. Thanks for the advice. We had one person here respond that said, "You are the most annoying person ever." Looks like a fake account. No followers, not following anybody. So they clearly don't like me. I responded, "I appreciate it. What's your number? Let's talk about it." And I got nothing back. So we'll stay tuned to that.
Is their username Mandy?
It is Higher Self LPJ.
Higher Self. Ironic.
Higher Self. Yep.
That is hysterical. There is someone with the username Mandy in a million letters and numbers after it, so I'm sure it's a really real person, but
yeah,
she loves to send me DMs and tell me that I'm annoying.
Mandy?
Sam Cat, you ruin every episode. And I said, you know what, Mandy? Thank you so much for listening to every episode.
Yeah, thank you for the support.
Thank you.
Here we go. Don't even know if I got the right number. We're going to find out.
Please record your message.
Yeah.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Jessica, this is Sean Booth, and I'm sitting here with Sam Cat. Got your DM. Just wanted to chat and you know, see what we could do to help you out today. We appreciate you sending a message, watching the show, and you know, now we're going to have to call somebody else because you didn't answer.
We love you, though.
We do love you, and we hope whatever you're going through gets better.
Team retweet.
There's one girl that said, I try to get her number, came to Nashville to see a very well-known guy, ghosted, ate lunch with his ex-wife instead.
What? Call that girl. A very well-known guy, somehow a turn of events led me to having lunch with his wife?
Yeah, that's wild.
Call her. I need to know more.
This is
some Real Housewife shit.
I don't have her number yet.
Hello.
This is Sean Booth and Sam Cat. You are live on In the Booth podcast. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, just a disclaimer. You don't have to give us your name. You can give us an alias name. You don't have to give us any name, but just know that we are here to help you with whatever you're going through right now. The floor is yours. Let us know what you got for us.
Yeah, okay.
Shit. Yeah, it's real. It's happening.
So I'm 36. I am in a relationship, and he's a great guy. But, like, my problem is I don't know if he's the one.
Okay.
But then on the other hand of that, I get stressed with, like, the timeline of things and, like, my age and all of that.
Right. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say he's not the one.
Okay.
All right. Just because you're questioning that right now. This question has got Sam Cat over here in her wheelhouse. She's going to eat this one up, because I feel like we talk about this often, Sam Cat.
Well, yeah, because I feel like women have a much different timeline of their own pressure, of society's pressure, whatever it may be, than men do generally. I don't know many men that would articulate the situation they're in the way she just did hers, where she's like, you know, I don't know if he's the one, but I'm getting older. Can I ask you what makes you question that he's the one?
That's a good question. I mean, he's really great. Like, he's a really great person. I just feel like he is more excited about our relationship than I am. I don't know. It's really hard to answer. Like, I was in a 10-year relationship before him, and I was single for 2 years before I met him. So I was like ready to like get back in a relationship and excited, but like, it's been, I mean, I met him last year. We've been like officially dating for like 9 months. I'm just like, I feel like I should know by now.
Did you have these feelings with your ex of 10 years?
I did not. Like, he was my favorite person, before he was an asshole.
Okay.
So like, but I mean, I met him when I was 24, so I don't know if like that played into it.
Right, of course.
Broke up when I was 34, so it's like a whole different time in my life.
That's a whole lifetime together, especially when you're growing through your 20s and 30s. Would you have married that guy if he wasn't an asshole?
Yeah, we were going to. Or we talked about it. We weren't officially engaged, but.
Okay. So. Yeah. It feels like, or it sounds like, you had stronger feelings potentially for this guy than you do with this new one. Is that an accurate statement, or just that's different?
Like, it's accurate. It's different, but it's more accurate than it is different. And I think about that a lot. And like, I would never, ever go back to my ex, but I do kind of miss like the kind of like banter we had together, which I don't have with the new guy.
Right.
And I'm not trying to like compare either, because.
Of course.
He's so wonderful. I don't know. I feel like after 9 months, you should kind of have somewhat of a feeling of, I don't know.
Is he too nice for you?
He's kind of too nice.
That's what it sounds like.
Is that a problem? Like, I feel like I hate saying that. I say that to people sometimes. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, nothing's wrong with you. So many people fall into that trap, right? That's like a tale as old as time, Sam Cat.
I want to remind you that just because it isn't wrong doesn't mean that it's right. Just because you can't put your finger on one thing, like this guy has something that's outlandish or terrible about him, yeah, he's a perfectly nice guy, but that doesn't mean that he's right for you. I don't think you need to put the extra pressure on yourself to find something wrong. If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. If you're 9 months in and you're not feeling the va-va-voom with this man, what is going to happen in 9 years, in 90 years? If it's already dull, it's going to be exponentially harder to make it flash and be that butterfly, warm, fuzzy feeling like when you first get to know someone and the excitement. Those are the things that I feel like as a relationship progresses that you always kind of chase. Like they say, you date your spouse well into marriage to keep that fire alive. If you're starting out without the fire, what the hell are you guys going to be chasing in a couple years? To talk about the age thing, I hear you, sister. I get it. I am only a couple years behind you, but who cares at this point? Mid-30s and on? You're looked at like a strange museum exhibit if you're a single woman. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? And the answer is nothing. But I will leave you with, the longer you entertain something that is not meant for you, the longer you put off finding what is the right fit.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. It sounds like he's not the right one. It sounds like you know he's not the right one. You're hanging on, whether it's comfort reasons or obviously, you know, nervous about getting older. But every day you wait, hanging on is another day taken away from you that you could potentially meet a person that you have much stronger feelings for, that you're definite and confident in.
And also, don't hate on yourself because you think guys are too nice. I completely relate to that as well, because sometimes people are wah-wahs and vanilla and you're just like, this is not the life that I want for me. And it's your choice and ultimately your life. I mean, I know that's like a general term, but if it's not working for you, that's all we should be focusing on is you.
Amen.
I appreciate that. That makes so much sense. And I agree with you. You know, it, like, your friends just kind of like want the best for you. And like, well, I mean, maybe just give it some more time. And it's good to have like an outsider opinion.
Yeah, let's go. After we get off the phone with you, call him up. Tell him you're done. Tell him you want nothing to do with them oh and you're God. Moving on. Just kidding. Don't do that. But also, maybe do that.
Yeah, I know. I have to. I have to be nice to them. I got to match his nice energy.
No, you do not. No, you do not, honey. You do you. Right. I'm not saying you have to destroy the man. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you need... I think it's 9 months in. I think it's plenty of time for you to articulate what your needs and wants are and go from there. There's no shame in that. It's your life too.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Well, we hope you figure it out. Thoughts and prayers being sent your way.
Get it, girl. Kill it. Get it, girl.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. I like that girl.
So do I. Yeah. I feel like she'd be my friend.
Straight up.
She's like, oh, he's kind of too nice. I get it.
Nice.
I get it.
I said that a million times.
And did you notice that every girl that was having problems or struggles with the gentleman, they started, well, he's a really nice guy.
Exactly. That was everybody.
That doesn't mean that he's right for you. Yeah. We're not knocking their character as human beings. They could be really nice people. That doesn't mean he's right for you. And there's no shame in admitting that or realizing that or making moves to accommodate that. Like, why do we have to have, like I said, just because it's not wrong doesn't mean it's right. Ponytails, jeans, jobs, boys, just because it's not wrong doesn't mean it's right.
That's right. Full showers. That's not wrong.
You can't remember the term. It's everything shower, Sean. Everything shower, not full showers.
Well, we're going to hit the everything shower right now. We're going to hit it, but we're going to hit the showers. You know, like at the end of a game, you say, let's hit the showers. We're going to hit the everything shower.
Separately. In our own homes.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for calling us.
I hope we do that again. I liked that.
We'll do that sometime soon.
I've enjoyed getting to know the people who listen. I meet them out on the road. Now they're calling in. If you're going to an Old Dominion show, say hey. I just love that. Stop by the gym.
Love it. Thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. We have Team on 3.
One, two, three.
Team.